before we start, you know, I definitely like to go into a little prayer. For everything that's going on in the city of Hudson, and just for the council. It's gonna start, Lord. If you can, hallelujah, Lord, you just bless us, Lord Jesus, on this council, Lord, that we just be able to just look after individuals, or just be able to just bless those that may be affected by this coronavirus, Lord Jesus, and those, Lord, that's in places, Lord, that, that they're trying to seek help from, Lord, bless individuals that was involved in this fire, families that lost their homes, families that lost certain things that they can't get back. We thank you, Lord, and we just want to bless the council and just all the people involved. In Jesus' name, amen. First hand of order, Robin, you available to just discuss maybe anything from the senior center that that may be going on or that you're concerned about, or you know, anything that you can just share with us.
Sure. So I'll start with basically where we're at with the senior center programming right now, because there's obviously a lot to be concerned about in terms of the COVID-19. But the senior center has transitioned to offering some of its programs online through Zoom. So the core strength and balance class that we do in collaboration with the library has been going for a number of weeks now. And then we started again with our chair yoga class. It used to be once a week, but now we're offering it twice a week. And then our dance programs. So one of our dance instructors has shifted to do aerobics. Well, it's dance, but there's kind of aerobics mixed in. And then two of the other instructors are working on whether or not they want to find a way to do their classes through Zoom too. So we're trying to continue to offer programming for the seniors throughout the time to encourage them to be healthy at home and to have opportunities to stay engaged. And then we stayed open continuously with our program coordinator there. So we've been intercepting a lot of calls from people who want to volunteer and people who need specific things, whether it's errands or masks or, you know, whatever we can do. So we've been working closely with the Office of the Aging. They've also been directing some people to us, and then we've worked with them for making sure that all the seniors in the area have what they need. So they've also changed some of their Meals on Wheels protocols. So they're following more of the social distancing protocols where they're dropping food off and knocking on the door and walking away and, you know, things to ensure the safety of themselves and the people they're delivering to. They've also made some care packages. So they're giving people week-long boxes in case there's ever a shortage of drivers and they can't get to them every day. They do have meals for a week that they can rely on. And then we've been doing a lot of coordinating with just looking to and make sure that seniors have what they need. And right now, with the increase in cases in nursing homes, you know, what's happening at Pine Haven and then what's Barnwell, the new cases there, trying to make sure that people are just really vigilant about what needs to be done for their own safety. And also, you know, I know a lot of people want to get tested and know that they don't have it, but really the priority is to make sure that people working directly with seniors or in the healthcare industry can get tested. So if they're asymptomatic, they know when they're not going to work. There's an added risk of potential, either it's getting a ride to the testing center or going with someone to the testing center or being at a testing center, like you're increasing your risk. So just encouraging people to stay in as much as possible and to not put themselves in positions of where they are more vulnerable. So that's really what we've been focusing on, and being in touch with the county about those protocols too. So I don't know if people have questions about any of that, or
anybody have a question for Robin? No questions?
Just a thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Robin's really been doing a diligent job, and you know, just from what I'm hearing and seeing, you know, just her pure consistency really means a lot to the community, and people are talking about that. And yeah, we definitely thank you, Robin, for your hard work. Any other questions? All right. So this time,
Stephanie had one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah. See, on my side, I can't see anything except myself. And well, right now, I just see Maya, and that's it. So I don't know what's going on. But okay, here's a question. Go ahead.
Is it okay for me to ask now, or is there
absolutely.
I'm a public?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Robin, thank you. And I just wanted to ask you if you feel like you're being able to connect with everybody who has, you know, like in terms of like having phone numbers or reaching out and calling and having people respond and emailing and stuff. I don't know. I just wonder how you actually connect with people during this time.
Right. It's a really good question. So it always feels like we're not getting to everybody. And, you know, there's always the concern of who else needs help that we don't know about. So if people reach out to me, that's great. But we're also in touch with people in the community who are working in collaboration and different organizations that they've created since COVID-19 started. So that's been really helpful, because then I know what those needs are, and we're working together to address it. So there's been a lot of Zoom meetings with different organizations. And actually, I think in part because we're working with the Office of the Aging, and also just because we are so interconnected with the county, we're working with volunteers in Hudson, but then also in different parts in the county. So it's kind of a casting a wide net. And I think the best, if people need something, the best thing is to reach out to the senior center or to me directly. And we can put, you know, try to connect them with what they might need. Because it is a challenge when we're not allowed to meet in person and go into places. And also it's just phone calls and Zoom meetings and emails and things like that to try to put all the pieces together.
Robin?
Mm-hmm.
While I have your attention, I know you brought up the Memorial Day at the meeting early today. I've since talked to Eileen Halloran, and she pointed out she's going to reach out to VFW, who normally does a lot of that. So don't start anything yet until we've brought them in to ask them what they would like us to do. Okay.
Yeah. That's great. Cause when I did reach out to someone, they said that, you know, they usually have the ceremony at the library too, and then the parade. And so, but they weren't sure. So,
right. So we'll ask them first and then work from there, and I'll keep in touch with you.
Yeah, that will be great. So what Tom's referring to is the fact that the Memorial Day parade was canceled, and we want to figure out a way to honor the veterans. That follows the social distancing guidelines. So that's what we're trying to come up with. Thank you, Tom. That's helpful.
Sure.
Thank you. Any more questions? Until I get this figured out, if you have a question, can you just state your name until I can actually figure this thing out, how to be able to see the screen? I know I was getting some feedback on how to do it, but I think I got to just work on it. But any other questions?
No, okay. This is Kaya. Hi, Robin. Thanks so much for what you're doing. I may have missed it in the first couple minutes. I was like a couple minutes late, but what are the biggest needs you have right now in terms of like community support? Like, is it money? Is it volunteers? Is it awareness? Like, is there some way that we can help amplify what those needs are?
Yeah, I think the biggest need right now is the awareness piece and the making sure that people are getting the same information and that the information is directly related to the situation right now, because there's people on the internet getting information from different states and cities, you know, and it's, you know, we have to really respond to what our current situation is. And so, I mean, the social distancing, the staying at home, a lot of seniors, you know, want to be active. In fact, a lot of the people reaching out to volunteer are seniors. And so that was the challenge in the beginning, is what can we ask certain people to do and have them do it safely, you know, because they felt a real need to help and we want to honor that, but we also don't want to put them in a dangerous situation. So I think just reiterating over and over and messaging around wearing a mask and practice social distancing and try not to go to the store and try not to, you know, that, it, you know, if you can have someone deliver it for you, do that instead. And you know, another problem in the beginning was people just not wanting to ask for help, not thinking, you know, I can do it myself, why should I ask for help? And so just trying to set up the systems and reinforce the idea that, no, this is, we need to all come together and make sure that everybody's safe, and having people recognize their vulnerabilities and realize, like, oh, actually you have an underlying condition and you're higher risk. So try to stay in as much as you can. And then also trying to create these other avenues and outlets for people, whether, you know, through the online classes. And so we'd love to talk to you more about, I know we talked a little bit about gardening and different programs like that, that we could potentially do. So I think that when as the weather gets warmer and people want to go outside, thinking about healthy ways to be outside, I think would be great. So I'd love to talk to you more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the garden is open now, so we can move forward with that.
Okay, great.
I did have a question too for Robin. This is Maya.
Yeah.
I personally have been shopping for 3 senior households that are in my circle. And I was curious, you had mentioned last time or at one point a link to people picking up prescriptions for seniors. Is there some sort of a similar network for people in the community doing grocery shopping for people, seniors?
Yeah, so we've, people have called the senior center or the Office of the Aging, and we've connected them with volunteers. And so the volunteers have been doing a really great job of staying in touch. Like, they're not doing like one-time errands, they're becoming this person's go-to for support. So they're checking in weekly and as needed to make sure they have what they need. So if you need additional support with that, we can help to coordinate that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I just know that I've set up a system to be able to do it efficiently for everybody. And I just was curious if you were able to do that. And
yeah,
because Kaya was asking about help and volunteers. So that's why I was asking the question.
Yeah.
And about the, I heard you talking earlier, Robin, about the testing. Now, what's the protocol with that now? Is the guidelines the same, or did they come up with a solution for that? Did we get more testing? And is that available to everybody, or just the underlying condition people?
So my understanding is that there is a new testing center in Albany that just opened, and it is open to the public, but my concern is just the increased risk of someone would be experiencing going into one and traveling there and traveling with someone. You know, people are really great about offering to take multiple people, but that also increases.
Absolutely. And I did hear something about they opening one up at Columbia Green College. Is that accurate?
I didn't hear about that yet. I don't know.
Yeah, it's this Friday. It's just on Friday in the parking lot, and it's a drive-through. So they test in your car. You do have to apply online in advance. I'll put the link in the chat. but they're only going to test 1,000 people, I think, or maybe it was less. And they, you have to qualify. So based on symptoms, so it can't just be like a healthy individual will probably not make the cut.
Right. Okay. So if you just wanted to get tested, you couldn't. And if you have to have some symptoms, that's in line with the COVID.
Yeah. Or have been exposed to someone. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on how many people they're getting asking. So they're just going to prioritize based on the most significant.
Right.
Yeah. Which is what's the concern. If, you know, if you have everyone going to one place who has symptoms, it's increasing their risk.
Yeah. This will all be, nobody will be allowed out of their cars.
Yeah. That's for the drive-in one. I think the one in Albany is not a drive-thru. Mm-hmm.
Now, is this the one through the nostrils or is it a swab with the mouth? Do you know?
I think it's, I don't know.
I don't show
you. Yeah, it's a nasopharyngeal swab.
Okay, yeah. That's a tough one. I just saw people getting it done. They're like, whoa, wow. But all right. Any other questions for Robin? Before we proceed to Nick, pertaining to the youth center. All right, Nick, you're on, buddy.
Thanks, Malachi. So we got a pretty good turnout. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in on short notice. I'm glad we got to do this so that we can update everybody and check in with everybody, hear from folks. And thanks for Malachi for setting it up and Shaheem for hosting. For those of you who don't know, Shaheem DeJesus, one of our employees at the Youth Center, has, through his advanced technological skills, has taken on doing these Zoom meetings and hosting a lot of technical stuff for the entire city, not just for the youth department. So he's now, our employees are being used by by larger organizations to help in this time, which is great.
Absolutely. Yeah, Shaheem.
So do you guys want me to share that little update that I sent along with the email through the Zoom, or do you want me to just, can folks just look at it on their computers or separately?
Yeah, I think it's fine on the computer. That's fine. So then we can see each other easier.
Yeah, I like that better too. So most of you know, youth department shut down our operations at the youth center in coordination with the school district when the school district closed, and so we've been closed ever since then. And that's kind of a hard, sad thing for us to do, but it's what the times call for. So what we pretty quickly switched over to is doing an emergency kind of food support program. And as you all know, a lot of youth, a lot of families depend on hot meals from the youth department every night. And so we thought that we could try to help out however we could do that. And the resulting program was a food delivery program where we've been delivering boxes of groceries to families in need in the community. The way that works is people who are in need, people who are, for whatever reason, unable to get groceries or unable to pay for groceries or maybe just can't get out and are not feeling comfortable leaving the house, they're signing up through text messages and their names get put into a database at the youth center. And then we are creating boxes of groceries, sometimes customized to individual people with different dietary needs. And then we are twice a week going out and delivering those groceries on Tuesdays and Fridays to all of these families. That's been happening in two different ways. We have four main drop-off points where the majority of the folks live. Those are Bliss Towers, Skylar Court, Providence Hall, and the Terraces. And so those are the big drop-off points that we take vans to drop stuff off. And then we kind of have a small fleet of volunteers who are doing custom deliveries, basically door to door for people and leaving groceries on people's doorsteps. But it's all happening at the same time. It's all happening on Tuesdays and Fridays through the same process. So it's a pretty amazing program. I think we just have an amazing staff, an amazing group of volunteers who've really come together very quickly to put it all together. We're serving close to 700 individuals now, twice a week, through about over, I guess it's around 260 individual boxes that are going out for these families, sometimes multiple boxes. The whole thing came together very quickly, and Friends of Hudson Youth mobilized incredibly quickly to do fundraising and to support the whole program. And as I said in the review, Peter Frank and all of Friends of Hudson Youth just did an amazing job kind of really getting out there, getting donations, and on top of that, helping to facilitate a lot of it and facilitate a lot of the food drop-offs, the farms, the restaurants, storage. It's just been really incredible from all volunteers in that organization to do that. And I think just yesterday, they met their Giving Tuesday goals, which was significant, and got a significant amount of funds in to help us. So that's been really great. Peter, do you want to add anything about Friends of Hudson Youth?
No, I think you got it. I just, you know, I think I get a lot of, you know, because I'm out there a lot on social media. I'm given maybe too much credit, and there's just been so many people doing this, and I'm not doing any of the special work.
Not enough credit, Peter.
No, I really do. I mean, you know, Maya's at the youth center almost every day.
Yeah,
our other board members, Ann Rosenthal and Pat, are volunteering constantly. Yeah. And I just want to say that it's been, you know, a huge, huge team effort. And Nick's been unbelievable, as well as the whole staff. So I just want to thank everyone.
I want to add that the city's just been so grateful for everybody involved, man. It's really a team effort here. Numbers are just tremendous, and the complete effort, and you know, just the little things, because I know that a lot of times you guys are going beyond the call of you know, anything, any times of the night. I know Nick sometimes probably get tired of me, maybe texting him at certain times at night. Sorry, Nick, but you know, you answer the call and
anytime now, Scott,
you're right on top of everything, man. And I'm just so appreciative of everybody involved in that, you know, just really showing compassion for the city. And I'm just glad to be on the team.
Yeah, it's an amazing team, and we're all on it. And, you know, local restaurants chipping in, other local organizations. Kite's Nest has done a huge part. They've actually donated staff who are working with us, helping to do the deliveries, and kind of opened up their space, helped with other volunteering efforts, repackaging food. You know, Little Debs, Kitties, all these amazing organizations. Hudson River Bank and Trust came through when one of our vehicles went out, and helped us buy an entirely new van, which we really needed to do this delivery process, and that will then be able to get converted back into a van for youth programming afterwards. And just like individuals coming out and volunteering, it's been an amazing turnout from the community. And I never would have expected everybody to spend as much time and effort and money and blood, sweat, and tears that everybody has. It's been really incredible.
Okay. Anybody else want to add on?
I wanted to just say that the level of care that each volunteer and staff member and Friends of Hudson Youth, there's just this incredible level of care, and that's so compelling to coming back each week and doing this work. And connecting to our community. I want to say that that's very regenerative. There's something very beautiful at work here.
You are a gem, Maya.
Everybody, we're all gems.
Truly. Are gems.
But we're sparkling.
Accept it, Maya, accept it. It's all right. anybody else?
Nick, you're going to talk a little bit about summer or any?
Summer's difficult because we're trying to make plans, and it seems like every time we sit down and try to make some plans, we hear from the county or the state about another restriction that they're putting in place. And so while we're going to continue to plan and continue to try to offer whatever we possibly can for youth this summer, the reality is that most likely restrictions are going to come down from above us that are going to limit or dictate exactly what we do. Right now, I'll tell everybody that our Columbia County Board of Supervisors not the whole County Board of Supervisors, but at least the Chairman Matt Morrell is pushing the state to enable him to cancel all summer camps in Columbia County for this year. And so they're going to try to pass a resolution stating that and giving them that power, because they're very afraid of the risk of containing the virus in this time. So if that was the case, then obviously we wouldn't be able to run a typical summer camp. And what we've been talking about doing is thinking if we can at least do some kind of offering for youth of essential workers. I know the school board had a meeting last night, and I think that they're also going to offer a similar program, a kind of a summer camp for essential workers, children. So trying to figure out what we can do, or if there's a possibility of at least opening up the youth center in some safe way over the summer to try to provide a safe youth and community in a safe way, because this is really impacting youth a lot. I think this is really hard on a lot of youth in our community, and it's very worrying to think about what's going to happen this summer with nice weather after seeing what's happened over the past week. Youth are out, youth are with each other, youth are not as easy to convince of all the social distancing precautions they should be taking. And so finding a way to make sure that we're helping youth and serving them is going to be a real difficult thing this summer, but it's something we're talking about a lot and trying to figure out.
Can I ask another question?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to again thank everybody for what you're doing, and it's incredible to see what's happening in this community. And I think that this is probably happening all over the United States with small communities, it's pretty amazing. Bindlestiff would like to be part of, I want to offer something, whatever that looks like, whether it's something at Oakdale or if there's a way. We, in the social circus community nationally, we're talking about how to do that mm-hmm. safely. Like, what does it mean to actually do the kind of thing we do, which is like people share props, we spot mm-hmm. people when they're doing difficult acrobatic stuff. How do we do that safely? So on our end, we're, you know, talking with other educators about best practices and what that means. But we also recognize that with a lot of this, it's also just about being in the room with the kids and giving them an outlet creatively. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of the parents that I have been able to get in contact with, which is why, Robin, I asked you about how do you reach people. You know, they're concerned about their kids' educational status and what's happened during this lag time and, you know, the inaccessibility to some kids for digital learning. And that has everything to do with bandwidth, and it also has everything to do with just, like, the format. Not everybody can learn in that way. And so I just want to say that if there's a way that we can combine what we do with, you know, a literacy thread and with a little bit of physics and science, which is something that we try to do anyway, that is a priority for us as well. And then one more question is, like, I haven't sent an invoice for the past, the last session that we did at the youth center. And I want to keep paying my instructors. We are running a Zoom class now, and and Hudson families are invited. It's free. On March 17th, we put up a YouTube channel, and I've been paying our instructors to upload tutorials mm-hmm. twice a week. I send monthly, like weekly reminders to families that they're there. So we are trying to stay in contact. But I don't want to, you know, overburden the youth center with that last invoice. If you tell me that it's not something that, you can do right now.
Oh, no, I mean, we should talk about it offline, but definitely any services that were already rendered, definitely submit an invoice for that, and we'll pay that for sure, and then figure out the best ways to work with you moving forward. But anything that's already happened, we have did it and are planning to pay for, so you should definitely send in an invoice for that, absolutely.
Okay.
And then, I mean, I'll add that we're thinking about moving forward. We're obviously... I'm going to be trying to save as much money as possible, realizing the city's going to be in hard financial times for the foreseeable future, and cost savings are kind of one of our big priorities right now.
So can I actually add in here? And you know, it's not really my turn, but our core strength and balance teacher is also interested in doing literacy-based exercises and things like that. And I know Stephanie, you and I had spoken just really briefly about the possibility months ago before any of this happened, but he has transitioned to his Zoom class, and I think, you know, we could work together on thinking about how to do an educational piece that is physically active and incorporate some academics if you're interested in talking more about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I'll reach out to you.
Thanks.
And keep us all. I mean, it sounds like something that it's going to probably involve all of us.
Sure.
It's you. Yeah. So it will be part of our conversation.
Sure.
Nick, with that shutdown, that would also include the Columbia Green summer program as well, right? What are you?
I imagine so. Yeah.
Hmm.
Hi, it's Kathy Clark. Can I add in? I don't know who knows, but currently the district is offering a program for the essential youth, families, and we only have 6 to 8 kids a day.
Okay.
And we were really expecting more, but I was on a statewide phone call today, and across the state, all the ones who are offering these programs had the same thing happen, that they expected more kids, but then by the time it got up and running, families had other things already in the works, and they did do a survey, and they found that families are fearful of sending their children to a program like this, afraid that they may catch something at the program too. Also, that's one of the issues of the statewide survey that went out to families. We currently are waiting to hear what's going to happen for the summer. Nick, I know you said that the school board met. We're waiting to hear from our funders about all that stuff too. So, you know, just like everybody else, everybody's in the air, statewide, everybody's in the air waiting for guidance on how is this going to look and where do we go. So just to update you on that.
Kathy, this is Maya. Can I ask
yes.
you, what age are you serving for your essential worker care?
There's kindergarten through high school, really. The kids that are coming are about, you know, second graders, I'd say, up to second, third grade. It's from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. at night.
Wow.
Yeah. We've been doing it for, I think, 6 weeks now, and we only have 6 kids.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, Nick and Stephanie and Kathy, too, at the next host meeting, I was hoping we could kind of focus on summer, because for Kites Nest, we've been imagining, you know, what's possible. It seems pretty clear that from the governor's phase plan, that education is essentially last on the list.
in terms of what will be prioritized for opening, and the math of it basically just doesn't seem like we'll be able to open this summer in terms of a, you know, indoor physical space. But Kitesons is definitely in a process of reimagining what's possible for the summer, and we have a lot of kind of exciting ideas. It's also super hard to figure out, but I would say let's try to focus on that in the post meeting and maybe come up with like a sort of community wide plan that could support the youth center, because it's true that all those kids are going to need to be engaged in some way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you are uniquely, like, you and the youth department are uniquely positioned to engage a lot of kids. And so how can we all support you in being able to do that? And just there's, when we first started thinking about it, everything seemed impossible. And then as we've been developing ideas, some things started to seem more possible. So,
right.
Yeah, just want to offer support in thinking through that with you.
Yeah, that would be great to go over that and host.
Mm-hmm. What is the date for the next toast meeting, Kaya?
I think it's next Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, Thursday, May 14th at 11 a.m. Although I think, Kathy, maybe you guys were supposed to host, so should we switch that? I might be wrong. But
well,
that's my
I think we were. It is supposed to be us, but does it matter? We're doing Zoom anyway, right?
No, it does. Yeah, it's just whether you have the capacity to, like, be on and facilitate and make the agenda.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, if you don't, just ask. One of us can totally do it.
Okay. Great.
Thank you, Kaya. The things that you've been doing through Kite's Nest have been amazing. I've been following them every night and sending them off to my nieces. But it just really, what you and your staff are doing is absolutely incredible and imaginative and engaging and
amazing job.
Kind of takes your mind off of what we're dealing with in terms of the virus.
Yeah, it's all the staff. There's zero of my zero.
Well, it's your staff.
Embrace it,
and pass it along.
Thank you, Maya. I appreciate it. Thank you, Malachi.
Anything else? Or anybody else? Any questions or statements?
Before we move away from like the youth department, I did want to just sort of do a call out to Vanessa Baer, our program coordinator, who all spring has taken on the project, something that has just been waiting to have the time to do, of addressing a hillside at Oakdale Park for the summer camp, which unfortunately won't be most likely happening. But we now have 5 raised bed gardens on that hillside. She planted I don't know how many fruit trees and expanded the herb garden that the children worked with her last year on. And just has done it's just an incredible, like, next level for Oakdale and for programming in the future. And she's going to now continue to maintain that now that we may not have programming and that things have been planted. So I just wanted to give her a call. And she also has been doing some videos that she's been posting to connect with the children about that site and what's been happening there. And then also around Earth Day, she did a couple of videos showing them the bulbs that they had planted last year that had grown and blossomed in front of the youth center. And just so I really want to thank her. She's also, we're producing quite a bit of compost with the food distribution program. And so about 2 weeks ago, we started putting all of that compostable waste into buckets, and she's coming now and getting that out to our compost pile. So I just want to thank her for everything she's doing.
Yeah, and all of our staff has really been amazing. We have some staff working from home doing computer support. We have some staff packing. We have 2 high schoolers right now, high school juniors, who are really frontline essential workers. They're going to Latham. We're picking up these huge loads of food. We're bringing them back at 1 o'clock so they can do all their classes at home on the computer. And then they're coming back to the youth center at 4 o'clock to unpack and do deliveries. We really have an amazing staff, and they've really stepped up. And that's been another great thing to see, and made me really proud of who we have on staff, and it's been great.
And I think all the adults are checking in and saying, "So, how was school today? And hey, did you get your homework done?"
Yeah.
And on that note too, Nick or Robin or anybody for that matter, has there been any concern about Wi-Fi, lack of Wi-Fi, or you know, just no connections at all with the youth or the, you know, the seniors? Have you guys noticed or get any information or hear anything?
We've been asking people when we're out in deliveries, when we're talking to folks, and we were thinking that was going to be a big issue, and we haven't heard as much of a response as we thought. And I think just because so much can be done over a cell phone right now, and if need be, I think a lot of students can do their classwork over a cell phone.
Right.
And Kamal has had this amazing program handing out cell phones to youth who don't have any. And that's been really great. I think that I haven't heard as much of a demand as I thought there would be for Wi-Fi in this time, but other people may have heard different things. I don't know what you've experienced, Robin.
Yeah, so we do have a couple of instructors who don't use the computer, and those are the ones that haven't set up their programs yet. And then we also, of course, know that the seniors who don't have access. So there was an article that went out in Register Star kind of a while ago now, but kind of outlined some of the resources, and this is one of the reasons too, we coordinate with the Office of the Aging because they send out a publication in print. Also sent some information out directly with the Meals on Wheels drivers. So we are just trying to get information out in multiple ways so that people who don't have access to the internet still have access to the information. And so like one of the instructors who's not doing a class because she doesn't have internet access does call all the people in her class and does daily checks on or weekly checks on them. So we're trying to stay, you know, that's one of the reasons we kept the senior center open, is that there would be a phone number to call for people who didn't have internet access. And so we could connect them and put out some information about how to call and place orders over the phone. So, you know, like ShopRite's delivery service is only online, but if they call the senior center, we can, some of the volunteers also know, they'll take the order from someone and place it online for them. And ShopRite has it's set up that if anybody has paid at ShopRite with a check, then they have their information on file. And so if they were to call a volunteer and have the volunteer place the order online, then they need to give out their financial information. So that's helped to make it more secure in that support system. So we've tried to address it in different ways.
Good. Anybody else? Well, a motion to dismiss.
I make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
All right.
Thank
you all for joining us, and stay safe, and be well, and God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. So much,
everyone.